message, I remembered Abraham's own testimony, and I want you to read what he had to say. Go back into chapter 24 and verse 7 and listen to Abraham's own words as he spoke to his servant. This was his oldest servant, Eliezer, and giving him the commission to go and find the bride for Isaac. Chapter 24 and verse 7, listen to Abraham's testimony. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my mother's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife from my son from thence. And as I read that and then reread it, I thought how different this is from the usual testimonies that you hear in our day in religion that's filled with I decided. I did this. I let God save me. And Abraham, here he is telling Eliezer, this is what God did for me. The Lord God of heaven, in other words, the God who rules, the God who governs all things, which he took me from my father's house. He didn't say, I decided to leave. I decided to let God save me. I decided to say yes to the call of God. He gives all the glory to the one to whom the glory belongs. He magnified the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's an interesting word here, and it isn't a big word here in verse 7. And I know a lot of times we think, well, we immediately know the meanings of these more simpler words. It's the word took. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my mother's house. Here's the word took. Here's a definition of it. To lay hold of. To seize upon. To fetch. It even means to buy. And it means to snatch. What is involved in this word? Effectual grace. That's what's involved in it. This is not Abraham just out of the blue making a decision. Well, I think I'll follow the God of heaven. No. He says, God took me. Eliezer, God laid hold of me. God seized me. God fetched me unto himself. You remember in during the ministry of David, King David, when he said, is there any left of Saul's household? And somebody said, yeah, there's the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, but he's lame on both feet. And David sent and fetched him. He fetched him. He didn't ask him, you want to come live with me? You want to come sit at the king's table? No, David said, go after him and bring him home to me. And that's what God says about all of his people. Through the gospel of Christ Jesus, God sends forth his word that is proclaimed, and the Spirit of God goes out and he lays hold of sinners, the people of God, God's chosen people from all eternity. He seizes us. And he brings us to himself. And that's the experience of Abraham. This is his testimony. God laid hold of me. He bought me. You can take the time to look in a Strong's Concordance. And I've often said if I knew I was going to be exiled away from all the books, I'd say, first of all, I want my Bible. And if there's another book I could have, I'd like to have a Strong's Concordance. And I could go from there. Because it gives you the meanings of words. You see, words in the Bible, and we would do well to remember this, words in the Bible don't necessarily mean what they mean today. They mean what they meant back when this was written. And God's servant Moses, God's inspired servant Moses, in rehearsing or giving back the words of Abraham, Abraham says, "The Lord took me. He laid hold on me. He bought me." That word "took," and you can go through it. It's used a bunch of times in the Old Testament. It's like in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. He took him. Adam, you want to go into the garden? This is not left up to Adam. This is what God did. Or in chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and God took one of his ribs. This is God doing something. And what we understand by the grace of God is that which most people in religion don't know. This matter of salvation is God's act. It's God's work. God, who chose a people before the world began. These people were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, through His gospel, goes after them and He seizes upon them and brings them unto the Savior. That's the grace of God. It's effectual grace. And indeed, He bought us. The same word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 6. "Ye shall buy meat and water." Moses told the people, "Hey, we're bought with a price, that being the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so the Lord took him out of Ur of the Chaldees. It wasn't Abraham's idea. And I'll tell you something, I don't know where the Lord found you, but wherever it was not you initially seeking Him. It was Him seeking you. Well, do we seek the Lord? Well, sure. We just talked about, I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. That's true. That's very true. We were found of Him, and then we sought Him. This is the way it works. Don't put the cart before the horse. It's the grace of God that's effectual. It's God's salvation that always gets the job done. And we get weary with hearing religious people say, "Well, God's trying to tell you something. God's trying to do something." God never tries to do anything. God acts. God conducts Himself as God. And He goes after His people. That's the reason we don't sing five stanzas of "Just As I Am" at the end of the service. We don't sing any stanzas of "Just As I Am" at the end of the service, though there's nothing wrong with the hymn whatsoever. But it's been abused and misused. God will draw His people. And He'll find them even if they're in Ur of the Chaldees and wrapped up in heathen idolatry. Grace will find them. Abraham said to Eliezer, "The Lord, He came after me." He came after me. And didn't the Lord come after you? I don't know where you were, but He came after you. And He found you. He found me in head over heels in religion. Free willism. And others He finds, they're head over heels in outward wickedness and awful ungodliness. But neither one is better than the other. We have to be found by grace. That's why the Lord said, "I was sought of them," or "I was found of them that sought me not." Well, verse 1. Of chapter 25. Abraham took a wife. I first read that and I thought, he's an old guy. This is an old man. And yet he took a wife. You know, God promised Abraham a son, promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And of Abraham we read in Romans chapter 4, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Through old age, Abraham had become impotent. But God restored his virility so that he was not only able to beget Isaac, but this is a permanent restoration. I tell you something. When we're born of God, when we're given new life in Christ Jesus, it is everlasting life, and it's a life that'll never die. Here's a man, he's well over 100 years old now. He's 140 anyhow, maybe a little older. And he's fathering children, six sons by Keturah. Because that life that God gave him, that God created within him, was a life that it wasn't going to die. And he begat more children. And the life that God has given us in Christ Jesus, it will never end. It will never die out. We're by nature spiritually impotent. But God gives us life, and the result of that life is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we begin to breathe toward God. We begin to seek His face and pray and call upon His name. Who was Keturah? Don't know. Don't know. Most writers say it's probably a maid in his house. Her name means incense, for what that's worth, incense. But Abraham had six sons by her, and these were among the fathers of the Arab peoples. But notice verse 5, and here's a precious verse. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now, here he's got these six new sons, and of course they're getting grown by this time. So he's got those six, he's got Ishmael, and he's got Isaac. But he gave all that he had to one. That's Isaac. Because Isaac is a picture of our Lord Jesus, to whom God has given all things. Our Savior was faithful to God to do that which God sent Him to do. He came to do and finish the work of redemption. And when He finished that work of redemption, He bowed His head and died. And God rewarded Him. God gave Him a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And He gave him all things. Everything's been turned over to Christ Jesus. He's the king. He's the governor. He's the owner. He's the possessor of everything. And all of His people will be drawn to Him. And all of those who are not His people will be judged by Him. And He Himself works out God's purpose for all of the human race. Because God's given unto him all that he had. But you know, in a sense, Isaac not only pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a good picture of us. Because you see, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And you know how many spiritual blessings he's given to us? All of them. All of them. So that we will never be in need of anything. We're enriched with His grace. We're enriched with His mercy. And His providence in wisdom directs us through this life. And sometimes it may seem like we're meandering around and don't know where we're going. Probably we don't know where we're going. We know the end, but we don't understand why our path goes this way and then this way. Sometimes it seems like it's going backwards, but He guides us all through our wilderness journey. He gave all that He had to Isaac. He didn't give all that He had to those other sons. As far as blood kin was concerned, Ishmael was as much His son as Isaac was. And these other six boys by Keturah, they were as much His sons as was Isaac. But Isaac is the promised seed. There's something special about that boy. God showed him grace. And he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a picture of those who are converted by the grace of God. God gave to Isaac all that he had, or Abraham gave to Isaac all that he had. In verse 6 is an interesting word, but over against Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, he gave them some gifts. And then he sent them away. He sent them away not from himself. Notice the scripture. But from Isaac his son. While he yet lived, he sent them away. He made a separation. And Abraham, he was always willing, by the grace of God, to make a separation between that which is spiritual and that which is carnal. When God called him in Ur of the Chaldees, he willingly separated himself from his family, from his land, from his property. He separated himself. When the herdsmen of Lot and his own herdsmen were quarreling, he made a separation. This isn't good. And so to Lot and his herdsmen, Abraham said to Lot, choose whatever direction you want to go and I'll go the other direction. Because we're not going to stay together here. And he continued to make separations like that. His wife Sarah, once Isaac was born, got 2, 3, 4 years old, something like that. Sarah said, you got to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Is he going to make that separation? Oh yeah. Did it hurt him? Was that painful? It was painful. But God said do it, and he made the separation. And with these, here are these six sons of Keturah. I don't know what she said. I don't know whether she objected and said, now what are you doing? But Abraham, he sent them away because he did not want them to have an ill effect upon Isaac. He made the necessary separation. There are also times in our lives when we need to make a needful separation. Separate ourselves from those who have no interest in the gospel. It may be dear to us. It doesn't mean cut them off altogether. But we have to be separate. The Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from false religion. We can't walk arm in arm with false religion. That's impossible. Can light abide with darkness? Well, no. What's got to happen? There's got to be a separation. A separation. People say, I don't understand why you don't join the other preachers on the National Day of Prayer and all that kind of stuff. Well, I can tell you why. There's a necessary separation that must be maintained. We can't compromise the gospel. We're not going to compromise the truth of God in order for peace. Oh, I enjoy peace like anybody else, but not peace at any cost. Not peace at the cost of the truth. Abraham was a man who was willing to say, I separate. I'm willing to separate. And he did. You can just look at his life. He's willing to do that. And so then we get down to verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived in 115 years. Now watch this in verse 8. Several weighty statements. And Abraham gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He's ready to die. He's ready to die. Die cheerfully. Die willingly. Die in a very easy and quiet manner. Kind of reminds me of the words of the apostle. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4. Don't you love the way this is worded, the way the Spirit of God had the apostle Paul word this? In 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says this. Of course, he starts off in these last instructional words to Timothy. Preach the word, verse 2. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound or wholesome or healthy doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, Timothy, in all things endure afflictions. Do you have afflictions? Endure them. That's what God says, endure them. I wrote an article for the Bulletin this Sunday about trials, difficulties that the people of God have. Endure them. They come from God. And He's promised grace sufficient for the trials. Endure afflictions. Don't fuss about them. Quarrel with God's providence about them. Endure them. Do the work, He says, of an evangelist. Preach the gospel of Christ. Substitution. Satisfaction. Make full proof of thy ministry. And He says, ask for me, for I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have a departure time. And it's already been fixed. And so do you. So do I. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Who's going to get this crown? All of His people, because we all love His appearing. Oh, Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to hang it up. I heard a preacher say one time, at this, he's got one foot on a banana peel in right now. He's ready to slip into the noose. He's going to suffer an awful death. Go back to Genesis 25. So he gave up the ghost willingly, cheerfully. I know that God, the Lord has created us with a desire to live in order for the preservation of our race, the human race. But there is such a thing as dying grace that God gives to His people. And you're willing to go, Lord, whenever my work is finished, take me on home. And I'll go willingly. I won't go kicking and screaming. I won't fuss at the doctors, why didn't you do more for me? No. I'll die right on schedule, and so will you. He gave up the ghost. It says he died in a good old age. Yeah, 175, but he still got to die. Oh, he's lived a long life, but he still must give up the ghost. The ultimate reason is sin. And then he says this. Watch this in verse 8. And full of years. There's another phrase very similar to that. Full of days. Full of years and full of days. It's only used with reference to several men. Just a few men. Abraham, Isaac. If you're taking notes, I'll give you the reference. Genesis 35:29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died. And he was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And of King David. 1 Chronicles 29:27. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Full of days. And in 2 Chronicles 24, a high priest by the name of Jehoiada, he's the one who preserved the life of a young king named Josiah. And God used him mightily. In 2 Chronicles 24:15, but Jehoiada waxed old and he was full of days. He was full of days. Here's the interesting thing about... Oh, and one more. Job. Job 42:17. So Job died being old and full of days. Full of days. The word full means I've had enough. I've had enough. As though they were saying, I've had enough of this world. I've lived long enough. And we have some people here tonight who are, some are older than I am, but we're all getting up in years. As you look around and you see the conditions in which we find ourselves, the perverseness of our generation of this time, of this era in our history, do you not sometimes think, I've had enough. I've had enough of this. And this is the meaning here of what the Spirit of God says about Abraham. He had had enough of this world, enough of sin, enough of the rebellion against God, enough of false religion. I've had enough. I've had a full life. I've had a full life. And then it says, and he was gathered to his people. Who gathered him? Well, the Lord gathered him. It's time to come home, Abraham. Fetched him again. And he was then gathered to his people. Who you reckon his people were? Who are his people? Children of God. You know, when the Lord comes for us, we talked about Carol Lee, and apparently He'll come for her very soon, though He may come for one of us even before. We don't know. But here's what He does. He gathers us unto His people. Please go home. I tell you what, it's not many of our people down here in this world. I know there are many scattered around, but we don't know many of them. But we're going to go to heaven where all of them are His people. We're going to be gathered to His people, to the Lord's people. And then verse 9, Isaac and Ishmael. It's the last time they're spoken of as doing something together. They buried him. I tell you, deaths do that. It brings a family together, right? You come together. You're half-brothers. They're at odds with one another, but they love their daddy. They come together. Well, then there's, secondly, the death of Ishmael, and I won't spend much time here. And I read you the dozen names of Ishmael's sons. You say, why would God record their names in His Word? As evidence that He kept His Word to Abraham concerning Ishmael. God said, I'm going to give him a seed. I'm going to give him people too. I'm going to make of him great nations. Great nations. And the scripture says here of Ishmael, his sons had, watch it down at verse 16. They had towns that were named after them, and they had castles named after them. They were princes according to their nations. In other words, each one of them was a prince over a tribe of people. God gives mercies even to the ungodly. They live because of the mercies of God. Scripture says God sends His rain upon the just and the unjust. Turn back to Genesis chapter, a couple of references. First of all, chapter 17. Abraham had prayed this back in chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, chapter 17, verse 18, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard him. I've heard you. Behold, I blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful. I'll multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make of him a great nation. But I'm not making my covenant with him. See that? My covenant's not with Ishmael. My covenant is with Isaac. My grace is with Isaac. It's not with Ishmael. My covenant will I establish with Isaac. That's what he says. And then one other reference, chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. Back another page. Verse 10. The angel of the Lord said to Hagar, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord, that is Christ, said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. Literally, he shall be like a wild ass. That's how he'll be. And Job said, every man is like a wild ass's colt. Rebellious. Untamable. And this was Ishmael. Watch it. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. He's like a wild ass's colt. He couldn't be tamed. Couldn't be tamed. And he remained wild the rest of the days of his life. And let me tell you something. The only thing that can tame anybody is the grace of God. Grace can tame us. It's tamed us. When you say, well, I'm still got a lot of wildness in me. Yeah, but not like you used to. And now you seek the things of God. And then the scripture says back over here in chapter 25. Watch this. Verse 17. These are the years of the life of Ishmael. And 137 years. He gave up the ghost. He died. He was gathered unto his people. But doesn't say his full of years. Doesn't say his full of days. Because he loved this world. And he loved the things in this world. And he didn't love the God of his father. And you know what happened? He was gathered to his people. That's a totally different crowd of people. His people. Rebels. Unbelievers. Untamable. And his people dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest to Assyria. And he died in the presence of all of his people. All of his sons gathered around him. And he died as he lived, graceless, godless, and Christless. Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." That's what I want. Let me die the death of the righteous. The death of a man who's resting in the Lord, our righteousness, Christ Jesus. I don't want to die the way Ishmael died. Oh, he had a lot of stuff. He had much of the world all around him. And wanted more, wanted to stay. He wasn't filled up with it. He wasn't fed up with the world. But the people of God, when we're thinking right, we say, "Lord, just take me home anytime you want. Because I've about had it here. I love my family. Love my physical family. Love my church family. Lord, this world's in such a mess. You can just take me anytime you want. It'll be just fine with me." And of course, he will take you anytime he wants, whether it's just fine with you or not. He won't ask your permission then either. He'll seize upon you and take you on home to glory. Oh, I want to die like Abraham died. I don't want to die like Ishmael died. Well, let's pray. Lord, bless the word that's gone forth tonight. We're thankful for that seizing grace. Grace that fetches us. Grace that lays hold upon us. Grace that took us. Took us from this, from unbelief. Took us from rebellion. Took us from false religion. Took us from wild living and brought us unto Christ Jesus. Effectual grace. That's the grace that we need, Father. Grace that gets the job done. And we shall evermore give you the praise and the glory for saving us through your free and sovereign grace given in Christ Jesus our Lord, by whose stripes we're healed. In his name, amen.